We're back with another interview. This time, I am here at the graveyard by... Is it the graveyard by the square?
Graveyard by Squared Circle.
Okay. We're here with Ryan Dockery, owner of the Graveyard by Square Circle. How's it going today?
It's going awesome, man. Another beautiful day to be alive. How you doing, Bart?
I've been doing pretty good.
That's good.
So... Who are you? What can you tell us about yourself? And how did you get into this store of aplenty?
Oh, man, what a way to describe it. So I'm 41 years old. I grew up like 80s, 90s, maybe even a little early 2000s kind of kid. But I've been loving vintage and thrifting since I was a young person. We sort of grew up a little bit broke, or at least scrapping, so we thrifted sort of by necessity, and I grew an affinity for it and finding a bargain and sort of the hunt, and that grew to me collecting and sort of reacquiring my childhood as I got older, and that eventually turned into an excess or an overflow that I really wanted to share. So I started selling stuff online and had like some Instagram and stuff pages dedicated to like my collection, and that continued to grow to the point that I felt like I wanted to really be a part of the community and share some of the stuff that me and my family have collected and loved together. So we opened the store actually around the corner on Front Street a little over a year ago, and kind of just hustled. It was like a converted office that was tiny, but it went well enough that we thought, hey, let's like really push all our cards or all our chips to the middle of the table. And that was sort of the move to where we're at now, just about 2 months ago.
Wow. Where were you on Front Street?
So it's called the Alhambra Building. It was the building right in between Hope Soap and Morty's Munchies.
Oh, okay.
You can go to like the Kohl Center, and there's like some other sort of office space. We took one of those offices down the hallway and turned it into a mini store.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. We were hiding back there for about nine months.
You definitely were not as visible to the public then as you are now.
Yeah. We were definitely tucked away and did even more limited hours and stuff. It was, we kind of called it like a test run, or like a, there's a term for it, but a test run is really what we were trying, and see if it would work and if there was an appetite locally for the same stuff we thought was cool.
Are you from the Falls here?
So born and raised in Akron. I actually graduated from Barberton, and I live in like West Akron sort of now. But I worked in Hudson, you know, most of my adult life. And so I was trekking back and forth through and became really familiar with the Falls and getting to see sort of the rehab and what used to be Rockin' on the River, and that being sort of the headline event downtown, and just how much stuff has changed. So a transplant sort of, but definitely have had my eye on the Falls for a long time.
Nice. And how did you get in? You're talking about, you know, getting what you've had doing the resale. How did you decide to get into the resale business in general?
Ah, man. I think I really just collected so much, and really specifically I was into like wrestling, WWF, and you know, The Undertaker and Ultimate Warrior and that stuff. And I had sort of an overwhelming amount, like my collection sort of took over my house to the point that I had to offload some of it, sort of to pay for the hobby itself, some of it just to have the space to breathe in my, you know, then apartment. And then I think just seeing and being able to connect like stories with people who like the same stuff as me, like as much as selling and making a little bit of money off of stuff is fun. The real adrenaline rush is seeing people get jacked up on stuff that I also am excited about. So I think that like really just sort of sparked it, and I couldn't stop.
What's the best thing that you've sold so far here that has just made someone's day?
Just a little bit ago, earlier today, a neighbor of mine, or a former neighbor of mine who I lived in Highland Square, came in. He said that he's like a major metalhead, like music junkie, and his CD player at home just crapped out.
Oh.
So I was able to make like a really cool, old, it was a Bose system from like the 90s, but a really unique setup that sounds great, and got him set up with that. Like, those kind of things are probably the ones that stand out to me, because he was so excited about getting to get home and get back to his routine and stuff. I sold a really, really cool, unique Bret Hart signed t-shirirt. He was like one of my favorite wrestlers when I was young. And the guy had drove all the way from Erie, Pennsylvania to visit the store.
Wow.
Because he saw we had wrestling stuff. And he found something that he had when he was a kid that didn't have anymore and was able to reacquire it. And that was just a couple weeks ago. So that one was really cool too. I have to say, and like, it sounds like maybe a pat on the back for myself, but we get to sort of have those experiences, thankfully, on a regular basis, so it's hard to like pick out one. Yeah. You know, that was like the most meaningful, but they're all fun.
Have you ever run into anything that you think is going to be really great and you find out it's a fake?
Oh my god, yeah, on a regular basis. I don't normally mess with like high-end designer crap, but I found like some old Gucci, or what I thought were Gucci, like wallets or purses, that an old lady was selling at a yard sale. And I tried to bring it up to her. She only had like $4 or $5 on them, but I bought those, and she was like, no, no, you can just take them for that. And I thought that I had scored major, and I found out that they were bootleg ones and not really worth anything. So yeah, you roll the dice. I think that it's on stuff that I really don't know what I'm talking about, and I just think it seems cool. And that was sort of an example of that.
Speaking of garage sales, like, where do you usually end up spotting stuff to resell?
Yeah, you nailed it. Yard sales, garage sales. Like, this time of the year is my favorite, because estate sales are going real crazy, yard sales and garage sales, and they do them, you know, through a whole neighborhood and stuff. So I would say that's a big part. Definitely in the wintertime, like grinding at the Goodwill and the Salvation Armies and that kind of stuff. But nowadays, really, Facebook Marketplace, like, you can sort of hustle and reach out to people that way all the time. So it's a combination. We're lucky too that, like, with the new storefront, this is a new experience, but people want to bring stuff in that they have and sell to us directly. And that's really cool, because then I get to ask questions about, like, where'd you used to play with it, and who is your favorite, and, you know, all the stuff that really makes it for me.
So I guess we're talking about stuff, about looking for this. For people who haven't been down to the graveyard, what types of stuff do you sell?
So I would say we're a vintage variety store. We specialize in vintage clothing and collectibles, but there's some decor stuff as well. You know, I really love like old linen, so like bedspreads and blankets and, you know, curtains and that kind of stuff. So there's some of that and some jewelry, but by and large, we are 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. So like Gen X and millennials, antique store, like we're the stuff that you grew up with. We try to be really curated so that, you know, you can actually shop the store and it's not overwhelming. It doesn't feel like a junk store or a thrift store. It's a thought out, like, millennial antique store, I guess.
And it's not a huge store in general.
Yeah, no.
So it's not like you can fill the place.
Right. Yeah.
What's been your biggest obstacle running the store so far?
Man, the administrative side, like, the city's been awesome and they've been super supportive and helping us find stuff or figure out like how to go about signage and permitting and all that kind of stuff. But truthfully, like, that has been, you know, more cumbersome than I maybe expected. And then just exposure, like trying to get ourselves out there so that people know that we're here. We're real lucky that the falls are vibrant and there's people walking around, so we have good foot traffic and we've gotten to, you know the neighborhood that way. But I think just trying to get ourselves out there and try to get through the minutiae that is filing paperwork and making sure our taxes are done right and all that stuff.
Well, and I think it, part of it's helped too, you moved in here on Portage Trail. At the same time, a lot of other businesses moved into spaces that were vacant.
Yeah. It's been cool. Like, it almost seems like a Portage Trail revitalization. There's been so much emphasis on Front Street, and it's a really cool deal that we have downtown, you know, but getting to be a part of it and turning the corner and seeing some additional businesses, like you said, just in the last year, Sage and Lavender Collective, Silver Linings, Haunted Closet, We Open. There's a tattoo shop called Lounge 909 that's right next door that opened about the same time as me. So, yeah, I mean, five or six businesses just on this stretch in the last year or less is pretty crazy. Yeah. And super cool to be a part of.
Yeah, I hate this. I hate that the businesses that left had to leave.
Yeah.
But I like that it, you know, there was an immediate jump to get, you know, to fill those spaces and bring something new to the community.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a testament to people like yourself, because it's made it an attractive place for people to open businesses and get a chance to, you know, get our foot in.
Yeah. You mentioned enjoying the wrestling stuff. What's been your holy grail of finds, if you found any, whether it's in wrestling or something else?
Yeah. So I got with a lady who was a huge wrestling fan, the same era as me, but she was an adult, so she was attending all of the shows and stuff, and she blessed me with letting me buy her collection, and included in that were dozens of personal letters from wrestlers. Ooh. She had made relationships, some of them scandalous, some of them not, but with a lot of the wrestlers back in the 80s. And yeah, there is a giant like scrapbook. It gives me goosebumps still talking about it. Letters from the wrestlers to her, some of them, you know, talking about whether they were on the road, some of them plans like, hey, I'm going to meet you at this place later in the night. But it's such a window into like what really was carny life, you know, or carnival style living.
Was she a groupie or?
Yes, very much so. And the letters prove it. But it's just so cool. It's the most unique thing that I've ever found. And being a wrestling fan,
yeah,
it really like spoke to me, I guess, in a creepy way, kind of.
Yeah, I can't imagine giving that up either.
No, I actually, so when I bought it, I went through a lot of the collection with the lady because, like I told you, I love to ask questions and where'd you get this from?
Yeah.
And who was your favorite, all that stuff. So I went through a lot of it with her, but it was several tubs of stuff. And she's older now and just, you know, only had so much stamina for it.
Yeah.
So I left without going through every single thing. And I got home and found this like scrapbook and reached back out to her. And it was actually her son who sort of arranged it and was like, hey, I've got this stuff. I don't know if you intended on it being in the lot. And she said, yeah, she was just ready to kind of move on. But yeah, it was, I felt such a sentimental attachment on her behalf that I didn't even feel right having it with truly out knowing, you know, without her truly giving her blessing or whatever, which she fortunately did. But yeah, it's definitely not a sale piece.
No.
Maybe a eventual, like, you know, museum sort of thing. But at the same time, there's such like personal, like really like private, yeah, sort of stuff that making it public almost feels wrong too.
Yeah.
I almost feel dirty reading it myself, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, those things exist. I mean, you go to like the Rock Hall and stuff and there'll be letters just like that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you're really right. That makes me feel a little better.
What kind of misconceptions have you had people hear, oh, it's a resale shop, it's a junk store.
Yeah.
You know, like when people hear about your store, what do they think? That's not
like the two negative things, I guess, that people attribute to is one, like the, oh, you bought this at a yard sale for $2. Why are you charging 25 for it now or something? That's always hard because I understand that philosophy, but it's not as easy as you just show up at a yard sale and you get whatever you want for $2. So there's a lot more work that goes into it behind the scenes that ultimately gets you to an increased price or whatever. So I've had that kind of criticism. And the other isn't really criticism, but just confusion on us buying stuff. Like, we do buy stuff from people, but we work more like appointment sort of schedule. Like, we just don't have the capacity. We're only a couple of months in, is like the exchange does or something like that. So people who come in with crates or tubs with tons of video games and then expect me to make them an offer in 15 minutes,
yeah,
when I'm the only person working and trying to, you know, do customer service and
stuff. You don't know if they all work.
Right.
And I mean, you don't know if any of them work.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So having the time and just kind of working through that, like, it's a part of the business that, again, I didn't anticipate, like, the volume for us just opening our doors to, like, daily have people asking us about that. It's really cool because it's a different way to be a part of the community and a different way for us to, like, acquire stuff that we can, you know, connect to people who are interested. But it also creates a little bit of pressure, I think, for the people bringing it in and for me that we're just sort of working out the quirks with or the kinks or whatever. I guess it's a good problem to have, but yeah, just don't know how to exactly to do it right now. Like, we've worked out a you can drop it off and we'll get back to you sort of process, and that's been nice, but you could look over your right shoulder now and see, like, that's not all stuff from people. But I don't want somebody to drop off a bag of clothes and then for it to get lost in the shuffle, and then if I tell somebody that, you know, I don't want to offend somebody, I just want to do business the right way and operate in transparency and stuff. So I'm blabbering, but yeah, that one's been a struggle, or at least an obstacle that we're trying to maneuver.
You've been down here for two months now.
Yeah.
What's been the best part of being down here?
I know this is so corny, but it really is the people. Like, we opened, the very first weekend we opened was Irish Fest, and it was unbelievable. And that was like our soft launch. You know, less than a month later, we did our grand opening, and it was incredible. But just the, like, general support, like, to have yourself come down and be interested. I've had officials from the city come down and be supportive. The rest of the businesses in the area have come down to support, and, you know, and then the community and, like, customer base itself has been, like, kind of unbelievable and just really encouraging. You know, outside of just saying the people, I would say, like, the events and what the city and this downtown partnership sort of sponsors to enable a business with literally no marketing whatsoever to just open their doors and be successful enough to keep going and be excited and see some growth already. So a combination of the community and the people, it's sort of the same thing.
Yeah, I can honestly say I had not heard of the shop, and I just happened to run across, I was searching for different resale shops, you know, 80s type toys, and I was like, wait, Porsche Trail, what the? And I knew that the shop that was here before had moved out due to new laws,
yeah.
And it was just like, wait, it's there? Well, I gotta go check that out.
Well, it was super exciting getting to meet you, because I could see, like, we definitely have some stuff in common, and it really is. It's connecting with people like yourself, and there's others that, you know, there's varying degrees and interest in old stuff, and so it's not for everybody, but, like, that light up moment when it's like, holy crap, this is in my backyard, like, this is everything, like, you know, that makes me happy, or all of the stuff that I have these good memories about when I was a kid. So yeah, it's been crazy, man.
For anyone who wants to come to the shop, or is interested in maybe they have some stuff they want to sell to you, and they want to get a hold of you, how can they get a hold of you?
Sure. So all of our social media is the same. It's at Graveyard by SC. So you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and reach out that way. We have a published business phone number, but that's 330-548-8806. You can text or call that number. You can even send pictures. We're open Wednesday through Sunday. Wednesday through Fridays, 3 to 8 p.m., Saturdays, 12 to 8, and Sundays, 12 to 5. Our dedicated buy day, if you have stuff that you want us to take a look at, is Wednesday. Any other time, if you shoot us a message or a text ahead of time, we definitely can work with you and make that happen. But yeah, we'd love to chat with you online. We're pretty active on social media and posting new stuff that's going to go out, and goofy videos and stuff that, you know, trying to just share and laugh and have fun with people.
Is there anything, like, if someone someone wants to bring something in, is there something that you're really looking for?
Ooh, so being that we specialize in, like, apparel and clothing, You know, we're always looking for clothing, specifically women's and larger sizes, or something that we're specifically looking for right now. You know, 80s and 90s pop culture, like mega hit stuff. So whether it's Goonies or Ninja Turtles or, you know, big time wrestling stuff or Nickelodeon, like all of those are things that we're, you know, mega interested in as well.
Well, that I can say I bought a Nintendo game from here the first time I was here.
Sweet.
Still trying to figure it out. Those early Nintendo games are a little...
Oh, my God. Yeah, if you don't have the cheat code or like a Nintendo Power magazine, yeah, you're in exploration mode.
Well, thank you for sitting down with me, Ryan.
And thanks for having me.
I'm hoping people come check out the shop, check out some of the other places downtown. If you haven't been down here, I know it's hard to say someone who hasn't been down here. But
yeah.
Definitely everyone needs to come check out the graveyard. It's not dead down here, believe me.
yeah. You're visiting a graveyard, but a lively one. We would love to see you. I'm so blessed that you thought to come visit and ask me to sit down with you. It really is. It's so cool. And I appreciate the time today. You're the man, dude. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
FallsCast is a production of the Falls Free Press in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Please check out the Falls Free Press at fallsfreepress.com or on social media at facebook.com/fallsfreepress. We thank you for listening to this episode, which was recorded and edited by Bart Sullivan. Please subscribe to our podcast and tell your Cuyahoga Falls friends and family so they can listen as well.